Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about Season 3, Episode 6, Murder Mystery. And of course, as always, I'm joined by someone who has joined many a sack circle in his day. Stuart, how are you?
I'm good. That's horrendous. That's slander and libel and whatever other bad things there are on the world.
I don't know if this is an insult, but you look like someone who has hacky sacked at some point.
Never have I hacky sacked.
Do they hacky sack in the UK?
I think I do recall some people on the green outside our school library hacky sacking at a school library, university library, hacky sacking. Yeah, no, I was a limpet to the ultimate frisbee team in the sense of all of my housemates played ultimate frisbee. I just went along to their socials. That's about as close to the hacky sack energy that I've ever got. But yeah.
I just feel like, okay, you give the vibe that, like, maybe you wore, are they Etnies? Is that the brand of shoe? Etnies shoes? Yes. Like a skatery
Skate
type
shoes.
Of shoe.
Yeah.
And then that, therefore, kind of led me into the direction of, like, maybe he's hacky sacked.
Yeah, I don't think I was out of a set of Vans from the age of, like,
yes!
14 through the 24.
I freaking knew it. You just gave those vibes. Because, like, you, again, you know, the sweatshirt, especially if you were wearing a lot of black, I just feel like you would have worn Vans, Etnies. Yeah, same thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, products of the times. I mean, probably aging myself, you can absolutely tell when I grew up. But, like, that was it. That was the vibe back then. Were you not a hacky sacker then?
No. I don't think I have the whatever it takes to be good at hacky sack. I struggled with, because, like, I played a lot of sports when I was a kid. I know this sounds strange because currently I'm not exactly what's known as athletic. But when I was a kid, I was very athletic, and I did try soccer and hated it. Hated it, hated it. I wasn't a fan of not being able to use my hands. Like, I'm not great
Become
with
a
like
goalkeeper
my feet.
Then.
No, see, and the other thing was, is they always put me on defense, and I hated defense because I just stood there and did nothing and was so bored. I need to be, like, constantly entertained. So, no, I hated soccer. I'm not very good with my feet. I don't think I would have been very good at hacky sack. I have big feet. That probably would help.
I mean, can you? I mean, I guess you can be good at hacky sack, but I doubt it's competitive in the way of, you know, actual sport. I don't know. Maybe there
Isn't
are some
there
serious
a thing
hacky
where you
sackers
pick it
listening,
up?
But.
Yeah, I think you. There's like a thing where you stand in the circle and then you kick it up with the one foot and then you take your hand and you whack it. Is that a thing?
With your hand?
Yeah. Isn't there a thing?
Not that I can think of. Are you just like amalgamating hacky sack with volleyball?
No, I know what volleyball is. Let's see. If the oh, it's called a foot bag. Who knew?
A foot bag? Isn't hacky sack effectively like the whole circle thing and keeping it up in the air? Isn't it just the balloon game that they play in Friends? Or like
sure.
the ball throwing game that they have? Yeah. Like, everyone's done that, right? How is that a real sport? I'm sorry, but I'm not having that.
Hack slap. A game played with 4, 6, or 8 or more people. You have to keep the foot bag in the air by any means necessary, including hands. When someone fails to keep the foot bag in the air, hit with an upward trajectory of the foot bag, fails to make it in the opponent's square, they're eliminated. So I guess that's like a form of a game you can play, and it's called hack slap.
I doubt we're going to see it in the Olympics.
I don't even know. We're already so far off the rails talking about hacky sack. But we are here to talk about Schitt's Creek, and we have a couple of updates. Number one, thanks to you all, lovely people. We've hit our 100 subscriber goal on YouTube.
Woo!
Get it. We're at 101 Dalmatians, baby. What that means is next podcast, we will be sporting wigs during the podcast. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube so you don't miss out on that at Talking Shit on YouTube. Make sure you follow us on all social media as well. Because who knows, maybe we'll do more incentives in the future. I like having a goal in mind that we're trying to hit. And then when we hit it, we reward people with something. It's fun.
I mean, I'm not against like making a fool of myself for like engagement. Like, why not? That's the purpose of the internet, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. I've been doing it. We just missed
crave
out
attention.
Because of our age, we missed out on being able to like really embarrass ourselves on social media when we were young enough and doing like really, really embarrassing things. So we have to kind of make up for lost time in that way.
I don't know. I'm just, maybe it's because it's been long enough that maybe all of my super embarrassing stuff has likely been deleted, but I'm sure it exists on the internet somewhere.
It never disappears on the internet. You can always trust that. So yeah, that's I think that's it for announcements, unless you have anything, Stuart. Did I miss anything?
We have wigs. We're at 306. No, I think.
Okay, great.
Crack on with a recap.
All right. Yes. Let's get into the recap of the episode. This episode, Johnny and Stevie have their first business meeting. They're aiming to establish a working relationship with a local golf course to offer package deals. And Johnny is pumped. He's so excited. He wants to go golfing. He hasn't been golfing in forever. But the golf course managers are kind of just all business. They're not really there to entertain him or his you know, golfing wins. Luckily for Johnny, though, Stevie is the best. And she gets them around on the course for free. And she gets to drive the golf cart while Johnny golfs. Honestly, the only thing that sounds enticing about golfing to me is driving the golf cart.
Exactly. Forget golf. Go go-karting.
Exactly. elsewhere, Ted suggests Alexis go to the local community college and take a few courses. But unfortunately, to go to college, you need to have a high school diploma. And Alexis does not have that. So a little bit of a reveal there.
Yeah.
Also worth noting that Ted took a semester off high school to follow the American Idol tour. And it just felt like I needed to put that in the recap because that's a lot. That's a sentence.
We're going to get into it, I'm sure.
I did the math. Moira takes it upon herself to help Twyla increase attendance at her annual murder mystery party. And her antics work. But of course, she herself doesn't end up attending the party, even though it's, you know, Twyla made her the murderer. So they're not going to be able to find the murderer. That's what happened on this week's episode.
Oh, gosh. I feel so bad for Twyla because she is so enthusiastic about this. Like, when she raises it at the beginning of the end of the Jazz Gals meeting, and they're all just, just not there for it. I felt so bad for her. Like, someone just needs to say to her, like, okay, Twyla, can I help? At least.
That's what I was going to suggest. I think you need someone who is better at like the game design thing to help her because when Jocelyn says she just walked around all night winking at people and then realized like she never assigned a murderer, like horrifying. Like nothing is worse than like a poorly designed or executed game. Like, it really just brings the mood down. I also feel like I like a potluck. Don't get me wrong. I'm here for a potluck. I don't know that that's the move in this situation. I think you, if you're going to have a potluck, I feel like you need to have an established, successful party. And I think that the fact that people already don't want to come to this party and now they have to make something is really, maybe needed a theme, like a murder theme. You know, you could have like ladyfingers and like, you know, spooky, not spooky, but like murdery treats.
Murdery treats.
Like something in the shape of a knife.
Oh, not just things laced with arsenic. Like.
No, we're not trying to poison the guests necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. I did feel bad for Twyla. And I love, because this is the thing, we've seen this before with Moira, where she can't help herself, right? She had to get involved when she thought that Jocelyn was holding like a charity event. And she has to get involved when she sees Twyla just like floundering and asking her to bring bagel bites to her party. So I enjoyed that Moira got involved in this. I feel like it almost could have gone further though. Like I don't know in what way. Like maybe we see more of Twyla's party, maybe we like hear more about the past parties, you know. I just think there was more we could have done with the storyline to flesh it out a bit more.
Yeah, there was a lot of telling us and not showing us. And I was thinking about this because I think the end of the last episode, like, I did the predictions for this. And I had this whole, like, kind of idea of we would get to see a murder mystery. It would be the shits putting it on, perhaps. And that we'd get to see Moira pulling focus and being, like, kind of the actor that she is. And I feel denied. Like, I feel as if that would have been better. I think it might have been hokey. I think it might have been, like, it's a bit too obvious, maybe. So I kind of like that they have veered away from what's obvious here, but I think they veered too far. I think they should have delivered on what is a funny premise, which is Moira in a murder mystery. But the twist to make it that it's Twyla's annual event, that everyone hates going to it and stuff like that, I think it, what could have been funnier is if, rather than Twyla announcing it to the group and the whole group giving that, is if over the course of the episode we got lots of people giving really bad excuses as to why they couldn't go, and then Twyla doing that, and that could have been almost a replacement for the murder mystery. It could be almost like, well, who's going to end up like failing at giving the things and getting kind of brought along. This didn't hit for me. I feel bad in saying it.
No,
but yeah, it's...
I feel the same way. It's like, they, I think especially because the title of the episode is Murder Mystery, you really want to hit that home. And I think they just missed the mark a bit. Like, there could have been other things they did. Like, we could have actually seen the party, or like you said, had more people giving excuses, seen Moira go even more full tilt in terms of party planning, I think could have been fun. I just think there were things they didn't do that they could have done, especially because I'm not saying Twyla shouldn't have the A storyline, because I love that. You know what I mean? We've talked about this, bringing in the side characters, giving them more to do, Twyla being a really great option for that. I just feel like we missed the mark a bit in terms of fleshing it out. And maybe it's, although, no, I shouldn't say that, because I was going to say, like, maybe it's the three, that there's three storylines, like, competing for time. I feel like that hasn't been a problem in past episodes, though. I really think we could have just replaced some of the scenes that we did get with stuff that's a little bit more show, not tell, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, like, you could see the potential, right? Like, the potential of this storyline, what is it? The bar is... like, so low. Like, there's so much comedic material built into the premise of a murder mystery party.
Yeah.
Especially when the roses are involved, especially when Moira is involved. And so to kind of miss out on that stinks quite a bit, especially because, I mean, we even pull in David a bit. Like, we have, David again, I thought this was really interesting, right? Like, we talked about this, was it last episode, the episode before? David doesn't have a ton to do this episode. He's servicing other storylines. Maybe we pull him in a little bit more.
Yeah, David's like fully firmly in the background for this. He's like the supporting person in two major storylines here. And like you said, we've been getting like kind of mostly three, but like recently we've been getting like 3.5, nearly four kind of like big stories. And everyone has been saying like it feels as if we're getting a lot of, like, it's more condensed, where it's a bit better with how it's kind of treating its time. And maybe it's the editing, maybe it's the screenwriting, but it just feels a lot sharper and a lot kind of less, I guess, like kind of just drifting through, which I think was coming with the early seasons. Whereas this one, I feel, goes, okay, we've got this idea for the murder mystery, we've got this whole thing with the golf, let's just throw them together and that'll be an episode. And it feels like thrown together, and nothing really feels cohesive.
I feel that way as well. It's Sarah and I over on Shit 90 Shows taught me talk a lot about like sticky note episodes, where it's like they have a sticky note idea, like a murder mystery sounds like a really fun concept for an episode. And they're just like, okay, we have these three leftover storylines we weren't able to put anywhere else. We'll just shove them into an episode. And obviously that's not the way they do things, but that's kind of how it feels. And so and it also doesn't necessarily feel like it is kind of a setup episode, right? Because you have like, okay, Alexis needs to now graduate high school. We're setting that up. We're kind of launching Johnny and Stevie in their first business meeting together. So that's sort of a setup, but it doesn't really feel like, I think we're missing some of the key ingredients here. Like, this isn't a laugh out loud sort of episode. It also isn't necessarily one that really moves the story along, like, and at least not enough, in my opinion. And we also don't really have any of those like emotional moments that sometimes kind of anchor a story or an episode. So I don't know. I agree with you. And I was interested to see if you felt the way I did, because it was like we were really excited about, oh, murder mystery. I hadn't really remembered what this episode contained beyond I knew there was like a murder mystery component. But looking back, I was like, oh, it's kind of disappointing. It feels like they it's a missed opportunity, I think, is how I feel about it.
Yeah, the way I think about it is the episode's titled Murder Mystery, and yet that feels like the B plot to what is the golf plot, which should be the A plot. And I think maybe even by calling it that, I think it's by recognizing that maybe the golf plot wasn't as strong as they first thought it might be. And that's not to say that I didn't like it. The whole Stevie and Johnny stuff was really great, but it just wasn't like knee-slappingly funny, and it wasn't that emotional. I guess it was kind of endearing. Like I came away from that being like, I'm really glad that these two are together, and I can see this becoming something, but it's still not quite there fully yet. It's still kind of like it still needs a bit more time in the oven to cook. So yeah, I feel like the whole thing was just a bit
it was a little underwhelming. And I think there are moments in each of these storylines that are really funny or really work. Like, I think the Johnny and Roland golfing moment is very funny and really worked for me, especially with Stevie filming it, right? That entire scene was really great. And you get this, like, you want Johnny to have his moment. So that is sweet that he does get to go golfing, because you know he really wants that. So that's lovely. Yeah. But I think it's missing, I agree. I think it's missing that extra something, that like key ingredient. It's just, it's kind of a little, it falls a little flat. Because the whole point is, okay, Johnny and Stevie are going to have this meeting. They're going to try to pair up with some golf club to have a partnership. And so, you know, if you stay at this motel, you get like a certain amount off of a golf course, which, I mean, I don't really care about poking holes in the plot. Like, this is a sitcom. I don't usually look to do that sort of thing. But, like, it's kind of unbelievable that, like, this motel is getting, like, golf. I don't know. I view golf courses as, like, very hoity-toity. Like, in my opinion, it's like, this is what rich people do. I've never been golfing. It's what rich people do. So maybe that's just my own problem. But it also feels like, are they really coming to the motel that they have? Like,
see, you say that. I thought that was actually fairly believable, because I thought of these, like, with it being a package deal, I could imagine someone thinking, oh, they like golf, I'll buy them this. Not thinking of, like, looking up the hotel and making sure it's, like, what it is. And then the person being gifted it being like, okay, great. And then they turn up and just have to deal with it. And because it's a gift, they can't ever complain. So it's this kind of like, I think, quite a good business idea that Johnny's had.
Oh, no, it is. It is a good idea. I think what was interesting is I did get the vibe, which does make sense and work for me in terms of logic, that the golf company, golf course, whatever, golf club did have other meetings that same day. Like, they're looking at multiple hotels and motels, and that made it work a little bit more, because it's like, okay, we've scheduled all these meetings. We didn't bother looking up Rose Motel and see exactly what it has. They don't even know they don't have like a jacuzzi. It's like, you take one look at the place and you know it doesn't have a jacuzzi. It like barely has functioning plumbing, let alone a jacuzzi. So, I think it was just missing some of the funniness. And I love the Johnny and Stevie pairing. And I do think of everything in this plot line, that's what worked for me, is having Stevie get them the ability to like golf for an afternoon. I thought it was like extremely sweet and like something that Johnny wasn't going to do. And so Stevie doing it just is like, it makes it that much sweeter. So that it did have that going for it, but I agree. It feels like that should have been the A plot line. I'm trying to think about, like, looking back on episodes and the naming conventions, if the naming convention always comes from the A storyline or not, you know?
I think so. Like, looking back at it, we kind of like Rooms by the Hour. I felt like that was fairly kind of A plot. I said like the whole webcam thing was more side, wasn't it? And then driving test, new car, like they've all been these kind of like bigger things. I think it's just an odd choice. I wonder if it's because Murder Mystery just sounds better than Golf Pitch or something.
Yeah, like, no, you're right.
How do you really describe that?
Yeah. So, it's a fine storyline, but it's not. And it also maybe it's because, gosh, we just see Johnny get kicked so many times. Like he always seems to be the one like taking the brunt of like, this isn't going to work out. And like, oh, again, yet again, he has this like really good idea to your point. Like it's a good idea to partner up with other businesses to drive business to your motel, but it doesn't work out. And I feel like this is the same tale we keep getting with Johnny is like, he has this idea, but it doesn't work out. He has this idea, but it doesn't work out. And it's starting to get kind of sad, you know, watching Johnny fail over and over again.
Yeah. I really hope the guy gets a win soon enough. Like he had a win, I guess, what with like kind of pitching it to Stevie and Stevie accepting. But I'd love to see him get like a good business win, like something to do with the motel. That, exactly. Like, I don't know, makes it good.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
But him and Stevie together are just, they are really good. I feel like, I don't want to sound too down on this because the scenes where they were together were really funny. Like when she puts up the sign and being like 15 minutes, he's like, I think it's going to take longer than 15. She's like, you have to give them hope. It's just, it's a great way of Stevie still being kind of like dry and Johnny being the straight guy, but neither going to real absurdities. It's just this kind of really good dry humor between the two of them. And then again, like with Stevie just kind of clapping along at the end, having a beer and then just chucking the can. It's just like, I think it works really well. It's a great contrast of characters.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see more of their dynamic. And I didn't necessarily need, I think we could do like a different plot line, I guess, because they are really fun. They hold it together. So like as not impressive and kind of uninspiring as the storyline ends up being, it's the characters that kind of keep it together and keep it interesting.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
And then, yeah, we have Alexis thinking about going to community college. You know, she has this whole conversation with Ted about taking some classes. And gets David interested. I find this very funny that now this is the second time where Alexis has like showed interest in something, whether it be the apartment or going to college. And David like slyly comes in and is like, huh, maybe I'll do something like that.
I'm going to roast myself here, but it's a clear thing of like the older sibling seeing something that the younger sibling has and goes, but I should have that. And then, like, it is a, like
it's a so annoying. It is so annoying because I don't know if this is the case. I feel like I talk about sibling relationships a lot, maybe not only on this podcast, but it's like being one of two, I think there's inherently more competition. I think it's rather than if you're one of three, four, however many, I don't think it ever feels as competitive as being one of two. Because there's one other person you're competing against, if you will. Could just be my nature. Could be how I grew up. I don't know. But it drives me bonkers. As the younger sibling, if I'm Alexis, I'm pissed. Like, this is my thing. You don't just get to get my thing. You know? But like, it's
you don't
it's
get so new things. The eldest gets new things and you get the hand-me-downs.
You know how many? Do you know how many hand-me-downs I wore growing up? Oh my gosh, the amount of it wasn't just my brother either. It was like my cousins and my brother's hand-me-downs was basically what I wore until I was, I don't know, 12, whatever. Yeah, but yeah, so Alexis is gonna go back to college. And I love that she's like, well, it's not like they're going to check to see if you have a high school diploma, David. She's like,
I mean, it depends on where she's going to college, are they?
Maybe well, okay, maybe, so
I don't know what it's going to be like here. Is it going to be a really good college? I doubt it.
Even a community college generally is going to at least require a high school diploma. I'm not saying they're going to like, you have to have a certain GPA. Most the benefits of most community colleges in the States, at least, and I know this is Canada, but speaking as from the States perspective, usually community college is like a bouncing off point. It's like maybe you didn't do the best in high school. Maybe you're not even sure what you want to do with your life. Generally, you're going to go to community college for 2 years, get your associate's degree, transfer to a larger school, like a four-year school. pretty much exactly what I think Alexis would be doing, trying some things out, testing out some courses. But yeah, it turns out she didn't graduate high school. And this storyline works for me because of the one scene that we get where the family is like, "We attended your graduation." And she's like, I didn't.
That was ridiculous. The amount of times this family has shown to like really not give her care and attention when she was younger. And for them to turn up to her graduation, do you need to have a picture of her from her graduation and it not even turn out to
it's
be her?
It's just Chang, which also continues. I mean, if you're going to take the last name to mean anything, continues mm-hmm. the storyline of Alexis looking Asian as an adult, though. Like, she's like 18 when she graduates and they still don't even recognize that that is not her. That's mm-hmm. horrible.
But I mean, in their defense, maybe they are kind of just glossing over it, as they did spend $250,000 for her education.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't have an explanation on that. That's the cost brain, that of does. A house.
That is That's... not the cost of an education. Education should be free. But I gather they're probably going to something private. But still.
Oh, sure.
Doesn't excuse it. Like, I'm gonna like try and wash it away, but it's not. Johnny's awful for that. He's
oh yeah,
terrible.
They left it during the L's.
I mean, understandable. Those, I graduations. They're an involved process, and you
it's
don't.
It's too long. Like, they're too long.
You don't care about other people's. Yeah.
I mean, my family had to wait all the way till S, so I understand. Like, it was a long wait, but I only graduated mm-hmm. with like 200 kids, so it wasn't that long of a wait. You'd think a private school would be even smaller, but what do I know? But yeah, so Alexis now can't go to college until she gets her high school degree. I don't know, again, we're in Canada, I can't speak to anything. If I was Alexis, I'd probably just get my GED, which is what's common here in America.
What's a
I don't
GED?
Know Oh, God, I think it's a general education degree. Okay. Let me see. GED,
a diploma maybe.
General education development. Yeah, it's basically like what happens is most times people, if they drop out of high school, usually they'll go back and get their GED rather than like actually attending school. Like, they study for it and you take a test and then you get the GED. It's
so
like an equivalent
going, like,
of graduating.
Attending school, because this is a common thing that comes up in like American media of someone not having done like or finished high school.
Right.
When they say go back to school, would you actually go back to your high school that you went to?
Excellent question. I mean, in shows, probably yes, because for comedy. But in real life, I really doubt it. I think there'd be a massive, massive problem with sending someone who is over the age of like 19 into a school with like children. I think most times you'd, especially now post-COVID, you know, there have to be online resources to be able to do something like that. I do think most commonly, like probably 90% of the time, you would just get a GED because mm-hmm. it's essentially the equivalent to having a high school diploma, especially if you're graduating at like over the age of 20, like that's most likely what you're going to get. But yeah, what do you think of Alexis thinking about going to college before we find out that she doesn't have her high school diploma?
I kind of love it for her. Like, she is, we've been saying this for a long time, that she's the one that seems to be embracing this new life the most, despite being, I think, the most unlikely to. Like, she's found a footing. Like, she's had a couple of relationships, she's thought getting a place, she's got a stable job, she's got a good friend in Ted and Twyla, and like, she seems to be building herself up in this place. So for her to like go out and like get further education into supporting what field she's gone into, I'm loving it. This is such great growth for Alexis.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that she wants to sign up for cosmetology, but it was cosmology. And she's like, oh, like, no. I think this is great. I think it's lovely that Ted brings it up as like a suggestion, and most likely looking at more like an accounting class or something that is relevant to what she's doing. But I think the benefit of community college is to dabble, to try mm-hmm. things and see what you like and what you're good at. And this feels like a perfect, we've seen Alexis be creative and come up with ideas that work, that are, you know, I could see Alexis going to college, finding a class that she likes and really pursuing it. I think she's the type of person that, like, if she's enjoying something and she likes something, she works hard at it. And if she doesn't care, then she's not going to try at all.
It's one thing to be sent to school and have your parents pay $250,000 for your education. And there's a difference between that and choosing to go. And I think, like, if she were to make that choice and be active in it, she would pay more attention. She'd be much more involved and certainly thrive. Like, she's shown that she can thrive in these kind of situations. Like, what with her going into this job and excelling in her own way. And, like, going on her own path. And when she does that, her own path, it's like she's brilliant. So I hope that she does pursue this. I hope that this is something that, like, if she can get, like, her finishing high school thing, her GED or whatever it is, if she can get that and then perhaps pursue it even further, great. But I'm also here for, like, Alexis going to school. I think that's a really funny idea of, like, her, because it's also a chance for us to kind of meet her, get a different kind of side of Schitt's Creek. Like, we don't know anything of any young people, really. Like, I think all characters that we really talk, see or, like, kind of have talking to each other are all 30s plus.
Yeah.
So it would be a nice side to, like, get the education side of Schitt's Creek, maybe some teachers. Actually, I tell a lie. Jocelyn's teacher, right?
So Jocelyn have seen is that. A teacher, yes.
If no, it's not going to be that. But I'm wondering if Schitt's Creek is small enough that maybe it would just be one institution. So maybe they do have, like,
yeah, Jocelyn's how many kids are actually in a class? Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, it does have potential. I do like that this storyline has potential. It's going somewhere. It just feels like the rest of the episode feels a bit aimless. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But did we miss anything before we dive into the feedback for this episode? I'm trying to think if we didn't talk through anything that we need to talk through.
Not that I can think of. I mean, Moira has always been eloquent as ever, especially when she's, like, trying to convince David to come along to everything.
Yeah.
And I kind of love the fact that when Twyla's going to talk to her about it, and she goes, like, just gives her order immediately of a BLT with no bread.
BLT with no bread sounds horrible.
Sounds like the crappiest salad ever.
Yes. I'm trying to think of what Moira says to. She says something like he's filled with ennui, but she says it in the most ridiculous way that was so enjoyable. I'm trying to find it on the transcript, but I don't know how to spell ennui, so that is not helping my case. One of the other funny scenes too that I need to point out is the exchange between David and Alexis where they don't know if you have to pay the mailman. And, like, the way Alexis talks about mail, she's like, he's just so cute, he just brings your little letters. It's just so cute.
I love it. They're so, like, as much as I talk about Alexis, like, ingratiating herself into Schitt's Creek and, like, adapting to this life, it's nice to have these moments where we are reminded that they are just these spoiled kids from LA who have no idea of the real world. And the fact that she talks about it, it's like so cute, like, people doing a job, Alexis.
Yeah, it's so cute. Here we go. Exactly, David, you're bored, lethargic, and practically dripping with ennui. I've set a standard of activity and engagement so high you don't even try. It's so funny. Okay, let's get into some feedback. We did get an email or a message in from Emily bringing up Alexis and the mailman talk. Alexis talks the same way about mailmen that she does about bunnies.
Yeah,
it's just so true. They're so cute. This episode captures the awkwardness of business meetings with complete strangers perfectly. I used to hate, I didn't have to do this often back when I worked in insurance, but I did have to do occasional meetings similar to this where you'd meet people you don't normally meet. And it was always the worst and always so uncomfortable. And I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. I don't like to talk to strangers. I only like to talk to people I already know.
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough that in the job that I have, whenever I do have to meet with people I don't know, they're often pitching to get my business. So I'm very much like, oh, impress me.
You've
like,
got the upper hand,
I don't have to prepare or do anything for this. You just turn up and tell me things, which is great. But then I am often the one requesting a jacuzzi in a crappy motel and them to turn around and be like, and lie to me and say, yeah, we could do that. And then they don't deliver. And I'm there up my own creek.
Got to fix their sinks first. Emily also asked the seasons. I want to know which American Idol tour Ted put off graduating high school for. The seasons are definitely not all equal, and I want to know how harshly I should be judging him. So I did some math. I tried. Okay, I can only do so much, and we're guesstimating a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3 aired in 2017. If we assume that Ted is roughly the age of 27 years old, because that is Alexis's age in season 1. And we pretend that maybe a year has passed, like between seasons 1 and 3, because this isn't like the normal sitcom where every season is a year. So let's guesstimate that 1 year has passed between these two seasons. That means he's about 28 in season 3. So about 10 years ago is when he would have ditched high school to go follow an American Idol tour, which would be about 2007, maybe 2008. Now, I calculated that out for American Idol. That would have been season 6 or season 7 of American Idol, depending on which year it was. Did you watch any American Idol before I go over this, Stuart? Were you ever watching American Idol?
Was it Kelly Clarkson? I don't know. Like, what the hell?
Kelly Clarkson, like, won the original season, didn't she? It was, like, way back.
I know that Kelly Clarkson was on it.
Carrie Underwood.
Was Adam Lambert?
He sounds familiar.
Yeah, I know him. And then who? Jennifer Hudson? Was she American Idol?
Good question. I have no idea.
I'm sure she was, because like she did Jennifer... like that and then just got the huge break by being in Dreamgirls or something.
Yeah.
That's about the extent of it. I don't know. If you tell me a year, I'm not going to be able to know.
Okay, who's yes, you were one? Right. She was a finalist in the third season. Jennifer Hudson was the finalist in the third
Never
season.
Doubt me.
There you go. I watched a little bit of American Idol back at like the height of its popularity. I mostly liked watching the very first episodes where they did all the auditions, and they were really cringy, awful auditions.
Yeah.
But season 6, the winner was David Cook, and the runner up, whose name I do recognize, is David Archuleta. I remember his name being fairly big. So possibly that's who Ted followed. Or the season 7 winner was Jordan Sparks, whose name I did recognize. And the runner-up was Blake Lewis. Do any of these names ring any bells to you?
Nope.
Blake Lewis, no, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to Google him real quick so I'm not speaking out of turn.
Googled something, because someone else that I know is on American Idol. Drag queen Adore Delano.
Yes.
Season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race was on American Idol.
Make it canon that Ted followed Adore Delano on tour,
that's,
please.
That's her old name, Danny. And yeah, like, I love that if they're following Adore Delano. But I have no idea who this winner and runner-up is.
So Blake Lewis, no. You may... The only reason you may have ever heard Blake Lewis's name is from me. And the only reason I can think you may have possibly heard Blake Lewis's name from me is because of, in random conversations we've probably had over the years of our friendship, Stuart, I probably have mentioned that I really like when people beatbox.
No.
And I'm pretty sure Blake Lewis is the singer from American Idol who would like intercut beatboxing like into his songs, like into his singing. And so that's the only reason I could think of that you would know who he is.
I'm happy to say I don't, but okay. I recognize your enthusiasm for beatboxing. I am just wondering as to whether or not if they were to throw in a saxophone, would that just be too much of like a good thing for you?
That would be 10 out of 10.
You guys voted for a beatboxer to win American Idol?
No, he sings too. Okay, so I'm going to read you. Okay, he started beatboxing at 17. Blah, blah, blah. So he often layers beatboxing instruments, vocals, and effects to create a song live on stage. So he does like all of it together.
He does like the old Ed Sheeran loop pedal thing that he does.
I don't know what that is, but sure, yes.
Sure, yeah. Real references. Yeah,
that sounds correct.
Wow. The more you know.
The way that when I saw Blake Lewis's name, I was like, I'm going to have to talk about beatboxing. It's just one of those weird things about me that I've brought up probably too many times where it's like the weird things that I think are attractive that are unconventional. It's like saxophones, beatboxing, magic.
I can't. The combination of those three things is just too funny to me because there is someone out there that does that.
Sure.
And I mean, not to, I don't know, maybe he's got some secrets, but I don't believe Will does any of those three things altogether. So maybe he needs to be on watch just in case.
Watch out for a secret saxophone beatbox or close-up magician.
I love it. That's so ridiculous.
Anyway, that may answer your question, Emily. I hope that helped. And I would like to know, as a follow-up, I would like to know if you judge Ted more or less now, knowing which seasons he may have been following on American Idol. It's fascinating to me that he's just like, yeah, we just got in a car and drove. And Alexis is like, oh my God, really? And he's like, yeah, we followed American Idol. And she's like, oh. See the disgust on her face. It's so good.
He could have veered away from that and just lived like a legend, but no, he had to divulge too much.
Yeah,
because he would. Perfect. It was such a Ted thing.
Because he's Ted. Because he's sweet Ted. Oh, I love Ted so much. Okay, let's get into our ratings here. We have a Simply the Best and Disgruntled Pelican point to give out. Stuart, do you know who you're giving your Simply the Best point to?
I do, and I feel like. I feel like it's justified because we have been down on this person recently, but what they did in this episode was maybe not conventionally worthy of an MVP, but I'm going to give it to her anyway. I'm giving it to Moira for packing out the attendance of the murder mystery party while also finessing it so that she didn't go. I've got to admire it. It's great work.
It's very strategic. It almost feels like a Survivor move. Where she's like,
really does.
She's arranged for this party to be successful, but also doesn't have to be there.
How have we not talked about the idea of Moira Rose being on Survivor?
She would be so bad at it, but also somehow kind of good at it.
Also, why have we not talked about the entire like cast being on Survivor? Should we Brant steal it? Should we work out what's going on? Who's going to win Schitt's Creek Survivor?
Put the entire cast on there and see who wins.
Oh my God. Who do you think would win?
Who would win? I mean, Ted would be someone who'd be cut at like the final four or five because he's too likable. He's
too lovely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Matt would be someone Matt and Roland would be the two that you drag towards the end so that they're like your meat shields for the final jury, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes. I don't know. You know what? I think the person who would win is not yet on the show.
Really?
I think the character that would win the Brant Steel or Brint Survivor is not on the show yet.
Is this going to be a significant character or side character?
I'd like to throw a voting for Ronnie.
Okay. My husband is sitting about 10 feet to my left and waved his hands in the air to get my attention to say that he thinks Ronnie would win. A Survivor.
Correct. That's a great take.
Stuart loves this take. Yes.
I love that Will has been sat there while we've been talking about the saxophone playing beatboxing magician.
I don't know that he could understand half of that conversation because he's only hearing my side. Let's hope.
I'm going to explain it to him before this goes live.
He's
going
to listen to this. So. I could see Ronnie winning, but I do think the person that would win is not yet on the show. And they're like, yeah, fairly significant. You'll meet them eventually. My Simply the Best point is going to go to Stevie. I think what Stevie does for Johnny is so sweet. And yeah. I love what she did. I love that she's like not really into this sort of thing, but she goes along with it. She goes for the meeting. She wears the visor. You know, she drives the golf cart around. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of like, you got to give people hope. Like, even if we're not going to be back in 15 minutes, that's the move. You don't put up be back in 3 hours. You put up be back in 15 minutes and they got to wait. So Stevie's going to get my simply the best point this week.
Yeah, and I think that's a really great shout. Stevie was really great in this episode. And the whole thing of giving him hope totally works as well, because what was Alexis doing? Checking the mail. Like, you put that sign up, they do your work for you. It's fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Disgruntled Pelican. This feels like a little bit of a difficult one, because I don't know that anybody was that bad this episode. I'm trying to look and see who would I give it to. I mean, I don't want to give it to like the golf course people. At least they let them play around, you know, like that doesn't feel very nice.
They're just being, you know, actually okay at their jobs. Like, as much as I'm not a fan of like snooty golf clubs, you can't really berate them for doing their job.
Yeah. Part of me, let me tell you who I'm waffling between. Part of me wants to give this to David for being a really annoying older sibling and being like, oh, what's yours is mine now. I hate that. And part of me wants to give this to Jocelyn for like being like, I'm not going to Twilight's party, and basically having to be roped in by Moira. But I think for me, what David does is worse, because you know, Jocelyn has been to Twyla's parties and they're not so great. So I can't really blame her for not wanting to go. I think I'll give my point to David. I don't think he did anything that's like horrible, horrible. But in this episode, no one really does anything that's that bad.
I'm so glad, because we may have had a fight if you gave it to Jocelyn.
Another 4-star review for me.
I'm gonna give mine to Twyla.
Okay.
Because as lovely as she is, like I adore Twyla, but pick up on the vibe. Like, people, like, be better at this. Like, bring someone else into the fold. You know that like it's not gone down too well. And if you announce a party and everyone's like, great,
read the room.
Read the room. Yeah. I feel bad though. I feel like, I mean, I probably am due some people complaining, because I mean, it's almost like when we gave it to Jocelyn before, it feels like kicking a little puppy. But
sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. No one's worse, you know. I get it.
Yeah.
I just have trauma from having an older sibling that I felt like I needed to enact revenge on my brother by giving the, you know, disgruntled Pelican point to David. Yeah. Plus, he's just filled with ennui. You know? He's filled with ennui.
Yeah. he does have a soft spot for seersucker, apparently.
Okay, let's talk about Moira's wig this episode. Because it's bubblegum pink in a way that is just so fun. I love this wig.
It's a great wig. It comes out of nowhere, like, for like, and just changing up the color scheme of things. Like, everything really has been somewhat thematic to this, and this one just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. And I like that it's similar to her actual hair, like, length and everything, but just make it bubblegum pink and add some bangs, and you got yourself a hairdo.
Yeah. It goes quite well with the outfit. The outfit as well, again, typical Moira kind of craziness, with she had these like I can't even describe them, just strange tights with like
fishnet, but like front. Yeah, they're kind of fishnetty, but also kind of just like wackadoo.
Yeah, like one side was thicker than the other, and then she had like, again, it's like, it's more business outfits, like this is town councilor era Moira, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. I'm also pretty sure she throws some shade at Roland when she says he's keeping like summer hours or something when Jocelyn's trying to find him.
Does.
Which I love.
Just like kind of, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, okay. He's right. Maybe he was playing cribbage with her. Maybe it was Friday nights or Friday afternoons is the nude cribbage.
I mean, if he's playing strip cribbage and Jocelyn is looking for him,
yikes!
I wonder what he's actually getting up to.
Not great. Yeah. Okay, let's tier rank this episode. So hot shit, full bouquet. Love that journey for me. You, David, and shit out of luck. I don't know, Stuart. I feel like this is going to be one of our lowest ranked ones.
I think. I can't remember. I don't believe we had anything last season lower than Love That Journey for me.
I don't think we have, no. But I think I know where you're going. I think I might agree.
Let's bust out that sound clip because I've got to make a case for it to go in New David.
Ew, David.
Oh, that feels bad.
I think I agree with you. It just feels like there's missed potential. And that feels like what this category should be. Because if Love That Journey for me is average, you, David, being one step down, being slightly below average, feels kind of like it's like there was potential for this episode. And it has the bones and the structure of what is a promising episode and is just like unfulfilled. Whereas I think Shit Out of Luck is more reserved for like, wow, that episode was actively bad. You, David, just feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, I have just spoiled myself a little bit. I've just looked on IMDb. Last week's episode, 7.8 rating on that. This week's 7.5. The people on IMDb back us up here. It is worse than last week's episode.
They know. Yeah.
So I feel like it's justified.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think it's bad to have something in you, David. We have that tier for a reason. It's there if we need it. And we needed it this occasion. I'm not saying we're going to need it often. But it did. I'm glad that we were in agreement because I didn't want to come up. I didn't want to come on the podcast and be like so negative about this episode. But I'm happy to hear that like you also felt like it was kind of nothing. Like it's I'm more apathetic at it than I am like actively angry at it, which is good.
Yeah. There have been episodes where I've watched it immediately after we've recorded the pod and I've kind of freaked out about things and then been like eager to rewatch it. Like I do just before the pod we record so that it's kind of fresh in the mind and I can kind of recall things a little better. This was the one that I was like, oh, I guess I should do that. And that was, I think, most telling thing about this.
Yeah. And you know what? At least now our tier ranking is pretty, what is it called? It's like even. What is it? What is it when two things are identical on the same side?
Symmetrical.
Thank you. It looks symmetrical. So that's pleasing to the eye.
Look who else gonna go and get their GED.
Back to high school I go. Well, that's our episode. Would you like to hear what next week's episode is titled?
Yes.
General Store.
Well, that's vague.
It sure so that could is.
Be anything. I mean, is it General Store? Like,
yes. General Store.
Yeah, I've got really no theories on it, but I mean, this could relate to a B plot, a C plot. Who knows?
At this point,
everything's up in the air now.
Yeah. So that will be next week. Very exciting. Anything else you want to plug, Stuart? Anything else you got going on? Tell people to go
nothing
somewhere.
To
I don't
plug.
Know.
I'm all over with the rewatches. Oh, I say rewatches, the first watches of Survivor. I've gone way back to like season 8. I've gone back to All Stars. Getting like Boston Rob and Amber. It's a mess of a season. But I did just get past the episode where Rupert digs a hole and it all floods. And
so excellent. Yes.
Fantastic for that. But we'll just gloss over some of the other more problematic things that come up in that season. Nothing plugged. Find me on social media, Stuart Drinks Tea, say hi and harass me for putting Twyla as my LVP there.
You know where to find me at the Just Sterling, but of course follow the podcast at Talking Shit. Follow us on YouTube because next week is wig week, baby.
Wigs
come here. I'm gonna be wearing a Moira inspired wig. I don't know, Stuart, if you're wearing a Moira-inspired wig or just a hideous wig. But either way, I feel like that deserves attention. And so people should come and see it. And
my web search for it was bad wigs.
There you go.
Yeah.
So while you're on the YouTube page, make sure you hit subscribe. And we will talk to you all next week. And until then, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.